This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. So we didn't get to everything in the show today. One thing that we wanted to talk about was of the potential candidates or nominees for the court on the list, whether it's the short list or not, or the potential for Mike Lee and his brother Tom Lee. Let's start with Mike Lee. He is conservative, ticks some of the boxes. Would he be appealing at all to Donald Trump?
He certainly has some very strong backers within the national conservative movement. So we've seen people like Ted Cruz sort of openly advocating that he's the best man for the job. He comes from a very prominent Supreme Court family. Their father, Rex Lee, was Solicitor General of the United States, which is an incredibly powerful position at the Supreme Court. You litigate all of the cases on behalf of the United States government for the court. And he wasn't just a Solicitor General. He was sort of widely regarded as one of the most renowned Solicitors General, a very talented advocate and a really savvy thinker about the Constitution and about the court.
Incredibly well-respected.
Incredibly well-respected across the aisle. And so I think and we've seen – I mean, Mike Lee is in a unique situation because he's not a sitting judge. Yeah. So he's one of
That frees him up.
Yeah, it does. The other folks who are on this list are people who are very careful about talking to the press and sort of refuse to do so. So in contrast to his brother Tom, who is a justice of the Utah Supreme Court, who put out a statement that he has no comment about his name being on the list, Mike Lee is free to go on the news and to say what an honor it would be to do it, and to describe the ways that he grew up watching the court with his dad, and in ways that are sort of interesting, things that we don't usually haven't really seen in the past. Donald Trump himself has commented on that, right? He said, "Oh, it seems like he would like this job, and that he's." Interested in it. And that's an exchange between potential nominee and president that we ordinarily historically don't see because the dynamic is usually a little different. He's young. He's in his 40s, which ticks a really important box. The president has said he wants to appoint someone who could serve for, his language was 40 or 45 years. I don't know.
That's ambitious, even for the 40-year-old.
I don't know that Mike Lee has 40 or 45 working years left, but he is on the younger side of the people who are on the list, which I think might make him attractive.
What do you think about Mike Lee?
I think that I would imagine that one of the things that you could say with respect to Senator Lee is that he doesn't have a track record as a jurist. And one of the things that has seemed important is to have a track record as a jurist. So his brother, Justice Lee, very well known, very well regarded.
Not as high a profile nationally, but you say more respected in the...
I think very respected in the circles that we're talking about that are interested in getting these nominations moving forward. I certainly think he is very, very well regarded, for example, in the Federalist Society and within other organizations that have watched his jurisprudence. And again, he has that track record. So there's something more certain about that, if you will.
But he's in the West. So was Gorsuch the last? Would that even matter to a Donald Trump or court watchers?
Yeah, it's tricky to know how geographic diversity would strike. They certainly played that up a lot at the Gorsuch hearings, right? That he was this sort of aw-shucks Westerner. Despite the fact that not being entirely factually true, Gorsuch's mother was a Washington insider and a high-level EPA official, and he went to high school at an elite D.C. Private school. So so you could see that
people play that up when it works for them.
That's right. There's some attractiveness to having geographic diversity on the court, and you can imagine that a populist president who has worked hard to appeal to a populist base would like the idea of sort of being able to say, I haven't populated the court with the same sorts of Harvard, Yale, East Coast liberal or East Coast conservative, right? East Coast legal elites.
Yeah.
I'm representing more of the country. There are lots of folks on the list who are from places like Indiana or sort of middle of the country folks, Midwesterners who might also be appealing for those reasons. But I will second what Amy said about Justice Tom Lee. He might not have a broad national profile in terms of sort of you know, lay folk. But within conservative legal communities, he's a big name. He has a reputation for being a sort of strict textualist. He's been one of the most prominent jurists in the country to embrace a line of judicial thinking that focuses on reading sort of a corpus of material from a brand of textualism where...
Scalia-like?
Very Scalia-like. Very Scalia-like in an almost more technical way of sort of analyzing the actual words of the day and the ways that they were empirically analyzing the ways that those words were used and rolling them out. He's written some very prominent law review articles on that topic, a most recent one published in Yale. So he's a very well-respected jurist and thinker and has all of the right conservative credentials. He clerked on the Supreme Court for Justice Clarence Thomas.
Is he as conservative as his brother?
I think they're conservative in different ways, right? So, you know, Senator Lee does a certain job.
One's a politician,
right?
Yes,
they've
had different
ways
to manifest their conservatism to us.
I think it's a very different kind of thing. The other thing I would say is that I don't know that President Trump has in mind any particular story, but what he likes is a really good story. And we know this because he was on a reality show for a really long time, right? So I don't know that he's predisposed to have anybody from any particular place. But what he's looking for is what's going to be the really great story. What's going to look good when he presents this to the country and to hit all those folks who voted for him that he wants to have vote for him again, right? So I don't know that there's any one story, but he's going to want a good story. And I think the Western story about Gorsuch was as much Gorsuch's sort of, you know, identification and how he thinks of himself as much as it was everyone else kind of thinking about that.
So it sounds like you'd be surprised if Mike Lee were nominated, not so much with Tom Lee.
I don't know that he's in the top two. Yeah. I would say Brett Kavanaugh.
Say something about Brett Kavanaugh because I think he's interesting.
So Brett Kavanaugh has been on the D.C. Circuit since 2006. He is very affable, very personable,
handsome.
And handsome, which may be important.
And he's a former Kennedy clerk.
Yes. And he is. He has quite a track record, right?
I'll just say I think that might be a – is that a clincher? I mean, the idea that it's a Kennedy clerk, and was that at all appealing – to Anthony Kennedy?
President Trump said publicly that he met with Kennedy at the time that Kennedy tendered his resignation and that he specifically asked him, Justice Kennedy, who do you think would be a good person to replace you? Now, he didn't specify that whether Kennedy answered or not. So, I mean, maybe we're left to assume that that happened and maybe it did not happen. Gorsuch is a Kennedy clerk. And so it would be very, very interesting if the two replacements that happened back to back were replacing Kennedy with a Kennedy clerk. I think that would be a really interesting move. Kavanaugh was a Bush appointee to the D.C. Circuit. The D.C. Circuit is, I think it's not an exaggeration to say, right, the best regarded circuit in the country in terms of people going from it to the United States Supreme Court. Scalia did so and Ginsburg did so. And so he is truly a candidate that universally would be regarded as qualified for this job. He's in his early 50s. He's a little bit older than I can't believe that, you know, somebody who's 52 or 53 is now being aged out of this job
of 40 to 45 years.
That's right. Exactly. Yes. So he's a little older than some of the other candidates who I think are probably on the short list. He's older than Amy Coney Barrett. He's older than Amul Thapar, who most people think is on the short list. But I would put him in the top two or three. I'm guessing that there are serious conversations happening about Brett Kavanaugh right now at the White House.
And we should say just one thing about that conversation that Trump said he had with Justice Kennedy. Nina Totenberg has reported that on good authority, she has good authority, that the conversation did not go, from Kennedy's perspective, in nearly the same way as the president has recounted.
How surprising.
So, yes. So I think it's fascinating. There's one other person we should mention, and that's Hardiman, who was basically the runner-up last time. Mm-hmm. And he's on the Third Circuit.
Who is this?
This is Tom Hardiman, who is on the Third Circuit and is allegedly, we understand, a favorite of Trump's sister, who is also on the Third Circuit. So Judge Barry is his sister, and he is quite an interesting choice. One wonders if you were the runner-up, if you might make it the next time. Sometimes that precludes you. Sometimes, you know, you're not going to be a finalist the next time around. But I am hearing that he, too, is in that group. And I think he meets a lot of the criteria that Trump looks for. He does have a really good story. He drove a taxi, you know, to make
That's
money.
A good story.
First generation college student.
College, right? He went to Georgetown, so a little off the beaten path. Mm. Again, one of those stories that I don't think there's any predetermined story. You just have to have a good
one.
Story.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, Hardiman is 52 to the extent that we're keeping track.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe there's no way of knowing this, of course. We should be getting an announcement fairly soon, right?
I would expect a week from today.
Okay. Yeah, on the 9th. And they're getting interviewed, I think, in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I think all of them are going to New Jersey to meet with them. I don't know why.
Amy Wildermuth, Dean of the University of Pittsburgh School of Law. Ronell Anderson-Jones, Law Professor here at the University of Utah. Thank you both again for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Radio West is a production of KUER News, produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.